Yo, yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back for another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast with yours truly, B Thanks, and as usual, the homie, Bengals Drake. Been a busy week this week. Busy day today. What is Drake? How you doing, bro?
I'll probably sleep better tonight. Last few nights not been able to sleep because we haven't been able to find out where it was DJ Reader was gonna go. Today was a good day in terms of that, but also a bad day in terms of, losing one of your stars, bro. I'm glad he didn't go to Cleveland though. I will say that. The interest was there. That could have been fucking nasty. Like, that would have been disgusting. I'm not gonna lie. But him in Detroit, also just a perfect fit, bro. And I love it. Like, I'm happy for him. I really am. Genuinely happy for DJ, bro. Even though we couldn't figure it out, obviously, a few million away. It's crazy, I know. But same time, he goes out there, goes to Detroit, secures him a little bag. What's crazy is bag would have looked way bigger if he didn't get injured, and so crazy the difference in guarantees and APY. What could have been if that injury didn't come, because he's just been so elite in this defense. And yeah, man, I think him, Dan Campbell, he's gonna be able to help that defense out a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's going to be a cornerstone piece for that defense, whether that's 30 games he plays or hopefully 40 with him. Let's keep it between that number so he can come back and retire Bengal. But yeah, man. Obviously shout out to you as you've got a lot of deserved credit over the last 24, 36 hours with your information, insights, valid, true. Insider knowledge on Von Bell's camp and DJ's camp. So obviously you were along every step of the way with what was going on with Von and with DJ. If you don't mind kind of providing some of the numbers, you don't have to go super deep, with what it looked like with DJ, just to give the listeners some insight.
Yeah, for sure. It started with that first offer with DJ. I can get in depth. I really don't care. First year they offered him 1 year, $7 million. It's kind of crazy because in our mock draft, that's what the cap hit was expected to be, and that's what they gave him for the first year. So 1 year, $7 million. And from my knowledge, what I was told directly is that DJ looked at that. And he already had one foot out the door. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was kind of looking at them crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it's an injury, but like, come on now, like, $7 million. So basically, looks at him crazy. Then they come back with another offer, right? At $12 million per year, which is still, a good offer, but what Detroit is offering and stuff. It was the matter of millions. And I think that's what was crazy to DJ as he looked back on it. It's like, after all this, and then it's like you look at the first offer and then to now, and it's a matter of millions. And you talked about it on the podcast how players now are probably going to start being, more, this kind of type of way, because a few million is not just anything, okay? Maybe to a billion-dollar corporation, but to a human being, to a guy like DJ Reader, to any player that can change their family's lives. And DJ's
Person.
a great guy off the field, so foundation-wise, you never know. And I think that changed everything. And Detroit really, sold the vision. They've been super interested in him along the way. Like, they've been wanting DJ Reader in that defense for a long time. I can't say directly and what how long it goes back, but the interest has been there for a long time, and I think that's been long overdue. That's why 4 days ago, before anyone was talking about where DJ could go, that's why I said that team, because that was the main team that I knew was after him. I knew Cleveland was in there, but it was Detroit that really stood out outside of all the teams, and they inked it today, man. They brought him in on the visit, and what I was hearing, okay, and I was kind of optimistic, was that there was like still a possibility, right? There was still a possibility, and I just, I don't know, man. I think something happened that I don't even know about in the matter of snap of a finger, because when I was messaging you, I was telling you, I was like, the Bengals need to match right now. And you can even see it in the APY and everything. It wasn't that off. I'm not too certain on the guarantees, but I do know they were, I mean, they were there. They were there. And it was like, DJ just wanted them to match it. DJ just wanted them to just match it and show him, like, let's do it. Let's do it. And it was the matter of it. And sometimes, you know, you can feel one way about it. You can be on the player's side. You can be on the organization side, because I understand both sides of it. But I'm really happy for DJ. Detroit, they're getting a good one, okay? Getting a great guy on and off the field. And I want everybody to know this too. Just because I learned this today, just because he's now signing with the Detroit Lions, his work, his community, it's not done here in Cincinnati. So, you know, he still has schools and everything that, you know, he's going to continue to give back to. And that's what's so great about this human being. And like you said, hopefully let's get him in there for next 2 years full. Let him come back and retire as a Bengal, because my history of now having, you know, connections to two players, which is funny, in the last 2 years, is Mr. Von Bell. So now to, I guess, kind of go into Vonner, did you want to say anything on DJ?
Yeah, I would like to add a bit with DJ. Okay. Yeah, I obviously appreciate that rundown there. Yeah, guys.
What's your opinion on, like, the, you know, the contract and stuff like that? Because I know you mentioned it a while back that, or not a while back, but recently, that, you know, that couple million, that 3 million, that 1.5, like, that makes a difference. It really does.
It does make a difference. And like you said, it sounds like the Bengals were not willing to budge past 12 mil per. The guarantees, supposedly they never moved past 7, from what Zim was saying. I don't know. I asked him and he didn't answer. I know this.
I heard nothing about guarantees. I just heard why.
Yeah, supposedly he said he got word the 7 mil guaranteed. I don't know. Prime example, that's $2 million. You know, that's a big shift. That's,
yeah, really, I would believe him too, because when, you know, in the space. Respectfully, you know, he was talking about the 14. Well, 14 would have really got the deal done, but
yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
12 was where the Bengals were at.
I mean, look, man, of course it's a bummer. But you know, it just came back to, I'm glad that multiple people are catching on to it. I don't give a shit if I said it. It's just that the concept in general, I think, is really valuable. And which is a lot of people are catching on with. 31 other teams are trying to create the best thing that they can as well for their franchise. We're not the only team. That's a delusion of fandom. I'm going to keep repeating it.
Yeah.
We're just always indulging on what we can do, the opportunities we have, and that's right. That's correct. But we're not the only ones competing. We're not the only ones out on the playing field. No pun intended. You know, there's 31 other teams that are trying to create things for their franchise to set them up best for their future. You know, and that contained the Lions. They had everything to fight for. You know, so, like, I completely understand, you know, why us fans are extremely disappointed that a guy of this much importance to this defense just walked out the door and they allowed it to happen. A guy like Jesse walked last year. It's not easy, man. You know, because a lot of fans were indulging on just the missed opportunity. And that's not to dismiss the fact that they missed this opportunity. Like, this was a big dud, a whiff that the Bengals, this can get ugly in the next year or two if they don't respond accordingly. And we will hint at that, you know, right here, right now. We'll kind of show some paths on how they could potentially overcome, you know, the dramatic loss of DJ. With a mock draft we could do at the end of the episode here. So that's a little hint there. But beyond that, dude, it's tough, man. Like, fans don't know what we did wrong, yet we just outbid the team yesterday to get shelled in rankings. Pass rush. Is this league a running league or a passing league? Passing league. Are those tackles as dominant as three techs? Nope. The Bengals chose on the pass rush side. They went for a guy that wasn't as injured throughout his career. He's just as old as DJ. But and he's not as good as DJ, all right? That's not me saying Sheldon Rankins is, better than DJ Reader. Not at all. And if I had to prefer one or the other, I would go DJ. But the Bengals made their decision last night. The Texans were actually at 12. What a cool that the Texans capped at 12 for Rankins. We capped at 12 for DJ. 13 million. We ended up outbidding the Texans to get Sheldon. Ended up, being unwilling to match the I think it was 13.66 for DJ. From what it looked like, I think it was 27.25 over the 2 years. Yeah, man.
But
It's
I
really
mean, like I don't understand. Like you've been to the point to get a Lario, like pure pass rusher, which I love to add to this defense. Like the Sheldon Rankins signing, I think is going to be big for us next season, and I think it's going to help our defense a lot. Like no bias, like that's true. But when you look at it, it's like you were supposed to get that guy. That was the plan. That was the plan, was to put him next to Sheldon, right? And I think the importance of that was to really sell what you had back in 2021. And I get it, you have to evolve, but at some point you got to admit you got too far along in this process. Like I feel like we can still figure it out, but if I'm being honest with myself too, it's like we never, like, we talked about it all year long because we talked about this DJ Reader extension and why it made so much sense. But what's so bad about this situation is they really weren't ready for this day, okay? Like, they weren't, let's be honest. Let's, like, they didn't go after Grover Stewart or any of these guys, right? They didn't go after any other nose tackle early on. It was, the thought was DJ. Bring him back. I knew about the interest with the Lions. I don't know how Cincinnati had to have known about the interest of the Lions. So it's like when you go along this entire way, and maybe they see the bigger picture because we've seen it before. But it's like, man, like it can get really rough this next 1 or 2 years if you don't figure it out. Because, like you said, when we get into this mock draft, you got fans out here. Even myself, I thought about it, like thinking about having to reach on a nose tackle at this point because of the possibilities of a Tavondre Sweat not being there at pick 18 in the second round. So it's like, do you move back in the first now and possibly take him in the first? Like, but we will get to that. We'll answer that. So, but DJ, man, all this, it's heart. I don't know, man. I don't know yet. It's not selling me. Sheldon's selling me, but when you don't have, and you said he's above average, so I respect that. But when we're talking about trenches and we're talking about the most important games, we obviously got Joe Shiesty. What did we do in the Super Bowl, B things? We lost because of the trenches on the offensive side of the ball. I just don't want it to come to the point where we get back to that point and we lose because of the trenches on the other side of the ball.
No doubt, bro. No doubt. Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, the best way to overcome that is to continue to beef up these positions, which we will end up getting to. Actually, at the moment, I was looking up some Tyrus Hart stats here. Yeah, man, this is a good young player. 2020 draft pick, 6'2", 305. I don't know.
Like maybe I am overthinking it. Maybe this could be a guy similar to BJ Hill, but as a nose tackle, maybe it could be a similar situation with that. That's an interesting one too, BJ Hill. Been
Yeah.
hearing things from people, but nothing confirmed on that front.
No, I hear you. Yeah. So, yeah, in 23. Tyer had 74 PFF grade. This year had a 55. It was definitely a little bit of a more rough year. 21 had a 60 overall. But look, man, this dude, he is a competent run stopper. He is not a DJ Reader, but this is a quality nose tackle that I think that the Bengals can get for a quality price. This guy is head and shoulders above when you count age and things like that, not a ton of wear and tear on the tires, the best nose tackle available. And this is another way on why I gave the Bengals credit that they could have sat on their hands today, Drake, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in the DJ sweepstakes, but yet they were kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out, knowing that they're not budging on this number, and it could have been like that. He's probably going to go elsewhere, but hey, at least we're on it. No, they say, you know what? We're going to bring him in on a visit right now. Get him on a plane right now to Cincinnati. He ended up spending the day here, which it was reported that he was at Jeff Ruby's tonight with big-ass Mekhi Becton, Frank Pollock, Primary and Hobby, and Joe. So
you want to know what's crazy? I was hearing it wasn't even – B-Thanks, it wasn't even out of the possibility that they were going to pair all three of them together. Tier, Tart, Sheldon, and DJ.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. Yeah.
Like I said, I can't confirm that Tier Tart is signing with Cincinnati Bengals. It's looking like that. But yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, what could have been, right? You know, so obviously with those things still being in standstill right now.
But I sorry to interrupt you. I agree with you though. I think that this is something where it's like, I'm glad they did not just sit on their hands, because we know what free agency is about. You have to fill your needs. You need to go to free agency and draft best player available. Now, we all know we need to go trenches first round one to two on both sides. But still, I think this helps you even more.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, man. I mean, look, the two glaring weaknesses right now that this team has is right tackle and nose tackle. Right, every single other position you have solved right now. Enough heading into the draft, right? And look at them. What are the two positions that they have right now? Right tackle, nose tackle. They're always on it, man. It's not perfect. It's never perfect. Like I said, this is a fucking game. We're not the only ones playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that we can just mock, you know, fucking dream free agency and fudge all these fucking numbers, these cute numbers that I do as much as anybody, right? I do all these, you know, imaginary deals. Look at me, bro. I'm fucking leading the JJ fucking train. What the fuck am I doing? But the reality is that, you know, with how much the Bengals have been involved and how meticulous they are operating through, it's exactly why the league sees them as they do. As they don't, I'm not going to say they hate the Bengals. I'm not going to get mopey like that, but I'm going to say, their respect for the Bengals probably supersedes their fondness of how to operate. But they got a respect on how we operate, because we are masters at our craft, right? Yeah. And this is a small form of it. I like Mekhi. I like that they brought him in because of his experience with Frank. We said this pre-pod, I'd prefer Trent Brown. But Mekhi is one of the most intriguing young guys available. So it makes sense why they're looking at him.
Yeah, bro. I texted G Will the other day because I love his enthusiasm, bro. The way that he talks in the spaces, I've become a real, real like fan of him lately. I think his takes and stuff are cool. But
I'd love him.
Yeah, he really does, bro. He cooks, and he kind of sold the vision on me for Mekhi, bro. And I've been thinking about it because of what Duke said at the combine. And as soon as Duke said that, bro, at the combine, you don't remember?
I don't.
Something along the lines. I wish I could find the fucking video. People on Twitter today confirmed that I was right, that it was a video at the combine. But Duke said something along the lines about bringing a, you know, free agent in and letting him, you know, restart his career and refresh.
Yeah.
You know, and give him another opportunity. So that's the first player that came to my mind. So I think it just makes a little too much sense. And, you know, the familiarity with Frank Pollock there. But, yeah, bro, I think it just makes too much sense. But I wanted to actually ask you, because some people were talking about this today. Like, if the Bengals knew they weren't going to be able to get DJ Reader signed, which I feel like they would probably have a better gauge on that possibly, because, yeah, you know, they're right there. So, like, what's your thoughts on the Dolphins, man? Team that was interested in this cornerback, Cincinnati Bengals, Kendall Fuller. Dolphins signed him today, 2 years, $16.5 million. Top free agent corner goes off the board. I know the Bengals, there were some reports going out there early that the Bengals could be interested in going after a corner early in this draft. And I don't think that would be out of the possibility, because I think there's a lot of positions being talked about, and there's a position not being talked about really, and it's cornerback. And I think if the Bengals get a possibility where they could, you know, possibly get a top corner in this draft, maybe you do it. But what's your thoughts on this, man? I think the Kendall Fuller, you know, deal kind of looked nice. 2 years, 16.5.
Yeah, it did look nice. I mean, look, man, like, the secondary is fucking loaded right now.
Right.
Of course, it's valuable to get a veteran in there, but I think with all the talent you have, I'm about to go on the same spiel, not with all the tenacity I had in the past of, like, Dax. You know, you don't want to stunt the development, but
do you think Vaughn signing actually, like, changed that? I mean, that changed a lot.
Absolutely, bro. Like, Vaughn, yeah, I think people are brushing it off too much. Like you're saying, bro, that's why I do like, you know, how hard, you know, dead set you are on saying, like, no, this dude is coming in to be XYZ level of contributor.
Right.
Like, yeah, and that's the thing I made clear this morning. Like, people are misconstruing it, bro. Like,
I think it's
Vaughn was just horrible with the Panthers. I'm like, no, the Panthers were horrible.
Right.
Not had to reset. They completely imploded. All the veteran presence that they tried to acquire last year, right? Taking it from a winning culture, Hayden Hurst, Vaughn, other guys that have been there, done that, won that. It bombed. They had to cut them all. So fans are just assuming that, oh God, Vaughn must have been so bad they cut him after the first year. He's old, blah, blah, blah. Nah, dude. The dude's got plenty juice left. He's a legit guy.
And you know what's crazy? You know what's so crazy about the whole situation? I forgot to, you know, shout out Andre Parada on this one. I wish I knew how to say his name. I believe it would be Parada or Parada.
Yeah.
But anyways, for Von Bell's contract, if nobody knows this by now, it's kind of crazy. The Bengals finesse, all right? This absolute finesse. Von Bell, $6 million, 2024. Base salary was fully guaranteed last season by Carolina. This will be a Russell Wilson-type signing where the Bengals will ink him for 1 year, $1.2 million deal, with the Panthers paying the difference, $4.7 million. Mr. Tepper will get a nice holiday basket for Mr. Brown. Shout out to Andre. But I just think, bro, like, I think the respect that Lou has for Vaughn, and as you reiterated, like, he was in such a bad system last year with Carolina. Like, I don't want people to, like, get it misconstrued. Like, this isn't a guy that, like, just fell off a cliff, in my opinion, and, like, just regressed, like, tremendously. I think it's a situation where he's going to come back to something that he's really comfortable with, communication-wise, you know, with his former coach. And that's where I think, like, imagine if the Bengals have a starting safety out there this season. And even, like, that, I think people get it mixed up, too, because they think, like, Jordan is just going to play, like, 20 or 10% of snaps. And I don't think that's the case either. But you imagine you get a starter out there in Von Bell at $1.2 million?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sheesh.
It did that, like, technically with the starting safeties, right? I mean, they, from 23, how much more expensive are they than Dax Hill and Nick Scott? They may be cheaper. Just think, Dax, I mean, what, pick 30, was it 31? Was he pick 31? Was that the year that we drafted?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was. Okay, yeah, so 31 overall. How much is that? Probably like $5 million a year. We'll just say $5 million. Right. Nick Scott, oh my gosh, $9 million a year, right? Say the 23 expected starters and how that transpired, $9 million. Geno Stone and Von Bell, $8.7 million. That's a Bengals masterclass right there. How did it right? You guys, it could have hit the panic button and be like, Justin Simmons. I would have loved it, by the way. But you know that. Cameron Curl, $9, $10 million. You could have panicked.
No, did you see Cameron Curl's contract tonight?
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, that wasn't a great example because that deal was amazing. Shout out to the Rams. Yeah, I like Cameron Curl, bro. Never mind. Don't shout out to the Rams. That came out pretty weird. Sorry, guys. Not simp. I don't hate the Rams, but it was a good deal. Yeah, man. So that's a Bengals masterclass. This was a golden opportunity. Not gonna lie, I was. I'm not jealous of the Steelers. Fortunately, I feel like the old version of me would have, just because I know Russ is not the same guy. But if anything, I was just jealous or wishful that we could have gotten a deal like that, like a Russ deal. What a coincidence that we're the only two teams in the league that I'm knowledgeable of this offseason to have this happen. This luxury of a player, because of the shit show from another team, they bless you. And we're the best one because Russ, he ain't familiar with the Steelers. Vaughn played his best football of his career with Luke. You know, so to come back like that, it was perfect, man.
Yeah. It's like 1 year rental.
Yeah, 1 year rental, and I wouldn't be surprised if they re-upped with him next year. If anything,
you know what's crazy? Yeah, because that's the thing that he wants to come in here, get his year out. All right, and I won't give too much away. He wants to, you know, get a couple, maybe two, three to end his career. So I think in a veteran role too, that might be something. As you know, people have been reiterating Michael Thomas, but I don't know. I think he's gonna have. He's got a big role this year. I think they need that. They need that communication back there. And like I said, I don't think he just like fell off a cliff.
Yeah, not at all, man. And the fans would definitely see that. Let's go ahead and, you know, kind of rewind a little bit from, you know, where the mindset right now has came to a head of nose and right. Really, for me, yeah. For me right now, bro, because think about it, bro. What were the positions we talked about most of the time as you were in, you know, spaces and most of y'all were too? It's what we fucking hope. Talking ahead of the free agency, Trent Brown, Mekhi Becton, or we love Mike Nwenu, but we understood that his price range could be out of, or, you know, could be out of ours, right? And lo and behold, here's what we got. Mekhi Becton, Trent Brown, and we're in on both.
But if you think about it, it's like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, I love our team, bro. I love us, bro. But I do look at the other franchises, and it sucks that, you know, we do operate differently. But it's like, bro, the DJ Reader, or, you know, the difference between that or Michael and Wino, like, bro, those signings do matter. Like, I like the Mekhi Becton. I think it's great. Like, it has so much upside, and the potential is there. But it's like, when do we say enough is enough, right? Like, seriously, like, I understand, like, we have to invest draft picks in this team. But we have the money. And I get it. We have pay extension to Jamar, stuff like that. We've extended a lot of our guys on our defense, too. Like, we have the money. We've already started investing on our defensive line and draft picks, and the thought was that we were doing the same.
Yeah, I'll say this, bro. The Bengals have around – fuck, I'd have to see exactly. I think they have around $20 million left to spend.
Yeah.
We talked
about – cap space-wise.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for that. Yeah, they have – plenty of cash to spend. Like, the deals that they've had are extremely cash friendly, bro. Cash friendly, fairly cap friendly as well. But the Bengals felt a little bit more comfortable to take the cap hit, which is pretty steep for Sheldon Rankins. 14.5, I'm pretty sure, in year one.
I don't want to excite myself, but why a guy like Orlando Brown? Why the fuck's Chase Young still out there?
I mean, who knows,
like, why is he out there?
Maybe his number. Just navigate through that. I mean, edge room, bro, for me personally, like, We could use another edge. I mean,
I mean, you never you, Sam, like.
he Lou is. I don't see it, bro. In free agency, like in the draft, because like
Right.
they are high. Like, dude, they even talked about it at the combine, and I know it sounds exhausting at this point, bro. But Osai is gonna be healthy again. And if you can just get one more year, I get it, you gotta find a predecessor as well, but that predecessor, could it be a veteran in free agency? Sure. Multi-year deal at this point in free agency? I don't know. Chase Young is not looking for a rotation role. He's clearly looking to be a starter. So we're not gonna give that to him here. We got Miles, we got Sam still, and we want more from Osai, and Trey is a fucking superstar. So, it's like,
You know what? Fuck it. We don't even have to get Chase Young because you know the guy I want, and I kind of sold the vision on you for him. You sold me on the vision for getting him his first ring so he can fucking retire. And I didn't know he didn't have a ring yet. So come on, man.
yeah, Calais Campbell, man. Yeah. I mean, dude. I mean, bro, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calais Campbell, Hall of Famer. He was awesome last year. Bro,
And he said, I looked him up today, and he said he's pretty much thinking about playing next season. So,
he's been in the league since 2008. You know what? One second. I gotta look at this shit. So this is insane, bro.
bro, his PFF grades are insane because he's so consistent, like. You can tell where he was in his prime, but he's just not fell off, bro. Like, he's not fell off at all. He is just consistently
I mean,
fucking good.
bro, an interior pass rusher. All right. We just signed Sheldon Rankins to 13 mil per, six sacks. He had seven sacks last season. This dude is 37 and a half years old. He's going to be 38
And I,
by
bro.
the season starts. Listen to this. 08, this dude, his rookie year, he took the heartbreaking loss to his Santonio Holmes touchdown in the fucking Super Bowl against the Steelers. This dude is that fucking old. Like, but this bro, 23, seven sacks, 22, six sacks. That was with the Ravens, by the way. Led the league in forced fumbles. All right, 77 PFF grade, 80 last year. Let's see, 21. Oh, damn, I don't really know what happened here. One sack. 34 assisted, 80 PFF grade. He's a phenomenal run stopper. We're gonna go back to 2020. Is this dude fucking wine?
Bro, I got another guy I want you to look up for me because he's still out there and I want to see what his PFF looks like.
Yo, 90 PFF grade in 2019. All right, bro. Sorry, I'm just 19, 90 in 2017, 92 in
Bro, that was his prime, bro.
Oh my, dude. Hey, y'all are listening to this, bro. Miami Hurricanes produced a great one here. 6'8", 2008. Dude, I gotta scroll down. Like, when you gotta put your fucking age into some information? Going down like to the next dimension on PFF. I've never scrolled down this low. I literally have never scrolled down low. How many seasons is this? 24 is not even on here, right? So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Going on to year 17, bro.
Bro, let's do it, bro.
Oh my God, dude. Get him. Bro, you play
Dog.
17, get a
Look
ring.
at how many snaps he played last year. He had more than DJ.
Dude, hey, you know who this dude is? This dude's like a Greenland shark. Y'all know what a Greenland shark is. Them motherfuckers stay alive for like 400 years. The ring at like age 40. Like, he's like, I've been in the league for 24 years. Like, dude, that's where this guy's at, man. Like, yeah, you put me onto him. He's everything you want, period. Why? Why not? Like, What did he go for last year? Let me check this bag real quick. Calais Campbell. Calais. Incredible, bro. I can't believe people aren't talking about him more. Contract.
Andre put me on to him.
Okay. So this guy's amazing, bro. He does not give a fuck about the money. Okay, so last year he signed, bro, 7 million.
Yeah, bro. See? See, bro.
Does Campbell have a ring? I saw a simple question here. Pretty sure it
He
did.
doesn't. He does not have a ring.
No championships. Did he retire? No, he doesn't plan on retiring. 99 career sacks. 100 career sacks
How
as
many?
interior pass rusher, bro. This dude may be a fuck. He goes out with the ring. He'll be a Hall of Famer within 10 years.
Bro, please, bro. That's something we need to sell. 'Cause you know they low key be listening to the fans in Cincinnati. And that might be a vision we need to sell, bro. Like, let's go ring with Colias, bro.
Just a year, dog. Like, it's a year, 2 years, get the ring, whatever.
Bro, I'm confident he would probably come back for a second year if we were damn near. But I think we got a chance to go all the way this year, man. We're doing all the right things. It's kind of people. What's crazy is like modern or like a casual fan that like just looks at NFL signings and stuff, and you look at the Bengals and what has happened. Like I know we have lost guys, but in ways of what we're doing, it's kind of like 2021. You know what I'm saying? Like adding guys, I feel like. And I want you to look up another guy for me on PFF. Look up Stephon Gilmore.
Oh,
Because he's a free agent. And I want to see what his numbers are looking like at his age.
I don't like just my opinion. I mean, I love the idea. Yeah, let's see his numbers for sure, though. I just don't think it makes sense, bro. Because I want to be a starter. Like, I don't think he's gonna get that here. But nonetheless, 23 stats, 2 picks, 75 PFF grade, 50 receptions are allowed. What is that? 60. 60% completion against him. Damn. Okay. Yeah. So, 22, 2 picks. Wow. Yeah. So he 52 receptions allowed on 82 targets, 80 PFF grade. This dude. Yeah. I mean, he's been in the league. Holy fuck. Wow. He's going on year 12. You know what, bro? Wait a sec. 6 picks in 19. When did he win? He won Defensive Player of the Year. What year was that? 19? Was that 18? Could have been 18. Oh my God. 90 PFF grade. 19, bro, had 6 picks, 96 targets, 47 receptions allowed.
Trent Brown's PFF is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, bro. I know. Let's see. 2021. Bro, it's not been you haven't been to the playoffs in a few years, buddy. Oh, what? Wait a sec. Oh, yeah, he played for the Cowboys. Oh, my God, bro, his ass in the playoffs.
He's played some of his best football at right tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, look, you got huge blemishes with both, right? But Trent Brown's is predominantly off the field. Now, obviously, that's something that's not gonna really. But then again, Mekhi's had problems as well. But I think that was more predicated just with the tumultuous situation he was in. You know, kind of just forced the worst out of him. The Patriots were a bad one as well. So, me personally, I'm more on Trent Brown. I like the idea of bringing Mekhi in, but and here was the outlook I had as well, bro. Trent Brown's gonna cost more than Mekhi, so maybe the Bengals were still pretty adamant that hey. We could get DJ back in the room. You know what I'm saying? So they probably brought in the cheaper guy. So maybe they'll turn it to Trent Brown.
Trent Brown, dog, he just looks like a mean motherfucker. Like, I want him on my line, bro. He just does not look like a nice guy, bro. He looks mean.
Yeah, dude. He plays some punk football in the best way, man. He's a
See,
mean punk.
that is what we need, bro. That's what we need on our offensive line. And I can get that.
Pass, bro. Imagine that, bro. Like, how much does that fit us? Like, how often have we had a tackle that excels in pass protection?
Man, bro, and he's still playing at a high level. Like,
Yeah, no doubt, bro. What? Hey, how about this, dude? So we've kind of ran through, what we expect, with some of the names we've been dropping. Let's go ahead and turn our attention to a quick mock. All right. Look, Bengals officially have 10 picks now. Here's another crazy part, bro. With the Vaughn signing today, it's just incredible to think as well that we literally gained a draft pick.
that's crazy. I know.
It's just it's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible. Like,
We got a draft pick for him and then got it back. For we got a draft pick for him, got him back, and paid like damn near a minimum.
they literally paid for the deal, essentially, bro. It's crazy. Yeah, man. I mean,
So was it, what was it, a sixth rounder for him?
six rounder. Yep, six rounder. Hey, amazingly, Joe Mixon deal became solidified today with the trade. I don't think it's conditional anymore. I think it's officially on the books for this upcoming draft. It's
How
two.
do you, before we get in this mock draft, how do you feel about that, bro? Because it seems like, Joe, breaking news, I mean, we didn't even talk about that. Congrats to Joe Mixon, man. He got the fucking extension today, 3 years, 27 million, bro. And on top of that, it's like, if the Bengals, I mean, the Bengals might have been able to like get more than a seventh if they really would have been the Bengal way.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, man, you're so right. Dude, I am so fucking happy for Joe.
Because it was nothing but smoke, right? For a minute, like it was nothing but smoke for a while.
For what?
For Mixon, like I get there was people saying it, but like even he said, like he was surprised. Like watching that press conference today was tough, man, because like you can see how hurt Mixon really is by that shit. Like he's hurt, man.
Yeah, I mean it's fucked him up, bro. Yeah, like it was so fast. Yeah, man, it hurt a ton. That video, the peace out video by the Bengals they posted yesterday, definitely got me teary-eyed. But then I had to just focus on the good that, he gets to be with an amazing team.
Right.
And man, I cannot be more happy for Joe Mixon's future, bro.
He, bro, and he's in a better fucking offense where he's gonna get his touches. Bro, I'm so fucking happy for Mix, bro, because like really, he might be, no, not might. He will go stupid next season, fully healthy, bro.
Here's the thing, dude. He got 13 million guaranteed. Like,
What?
show me. Yes, bro. 45%. Guaranteed, almost maybe 47, almost 50% of the deal guaranteed. Like,
Beautiful.
show me how many running backs on their third contract are getting that much.
Hey, let's say this. Early in his career, who was hating on him, talking about he's trying to be me? Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Pay attention, brother.
Yep, no doubt, man. No doubt. That bitch made energy, sent his career down the fucking toilet. And that dude would do anything to get a guaranteed contract of $1 million, let alone 13. Like, I'm dead ass, bro. Yeah, like, dude, show me a fucking running back in the last 5 years that has received a third contract that is more than 1 year that is 13 million guaranteed. Show me. Like, I mean, it's incredible. Now, I will say, let's keep it a buck. Maybe it seems a little expensive to me, for what we know of Joe Mixon,
No, man.
but
Yeah, I agree. But I also think maybe the market has been kind of slept on when you look at guys like Saquon and shit after this year. And
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think he really like we were pissed all year long, bro, because of how, and it's kind of, I understand this team, bro. I'm hearing that this offseason too, bro. Like I understand we want to be a pass heavy team. Like I understand that, but it's like We got to run the ball, bro. We cannot, unless we fucking sign a Trent Brown, bro, and we actually get this shit right. Like, I'm sorry, bro. If we got a Mekhi Becton, it's good. It's upside. And a draft pick, too. If you give me Trent Brown, okay, you can do your LSU pass-heavy shit, bro. But we have to keep Nine healthy, bro. And I think Mixon, bro, he's going to get his actual touches there in Houston, bro. It's going to be exciting.
He got a lot of touches last year still.
For sure, yeah. Because he was, I mean, he was the bell cow back.
Yeah, it's the efficiency of those touches, which was amongst the worst in football. That's how it's more specifically laid out. That, yeah, I've been hearing multiple people say, you know, Mixon needs his touches. It's not getting touches. It's the meaning of those touches. When in situational football, are you putting the dudes in positions to win? And most times Mixon was not, you know.
True, but yeah. Then when we talk about the, you know, 70 to 30%, and we're talking about that on a week-to-week basis, it's like, that's how you get your quarterback killed, realistically, even if you're not getting, like, the production all the way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, and that's exactly, you know, how it fucked up Joe Mixon. So, yeah, bro, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
So what are you running the mock on? Are you running on PFF?
No, I'm running it on a Pro Football Network. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and get this baby sparked up. Let's go ahead and try to run through this pretty quick here. So quick rundown. Even if the Trent Brown signed, if there's a tackle that you love in the first round, you take him. That's my outlook. And obviously nose tackle. Like even if you got Terrier Tart, which is the best right now, the best option for you on the open market, unless if you trade for a guy. Which your intuition and mine kind of have a feeling about that could become a possibility. We won't talk about that right now. So then beyond that, you know, some offensive linemen, you know, positions like that can get better. So let's go ahead and run through this, baby. Let's see what we got here at 18. I'm trading for Brock Bowers. Okay. Like, by the way. Fuck, dude. Brian Thomas went at 15. Bitch. Let's see. Wow. Brock Bowers went at 9, you fucking bitch. Oh my gosh, bro. Yeah, they didn't upload this. They haven't updated this because Joe Alt went at 5, bro. I'm pretty sure Justin Herbert would fucking retire if he don't get a wide receiver at 5. All right, bro, so here's what we got. whoa. Okay, you got guys that are intriguing to you. Amarius Mims, Troy Fatanu, that's pretty much all who they're really going to consider here. So who would you take, bro? Amarius Mims or Troy Fatanu? What are you thinking?
And there's no trade back, right?
Me personally, like thinking in the Bengals' mind, I would not, because here's what the top 8 guys look like. And, of course, boards can be different.
What was your first 5 picks?
What, in the draft?
Yeah.
Let's see. Drake May, number 1. Yeah, that's retarded. Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Fashanu at 4, Joe Alt at 5.
So you want to hear mine? Maybe mine is Luke a little more realistic.
Yours? Yeah.
I got on PFF, I got at 1 Caleb Williams, 2 Drake May, 3 Jaden Daniels, 4 Marvin Harrison, 5 Malik Nabers, 6 Joe Alt to the Giants. I feel like that's pretty, and then Rome Odunze to the Titans. I think it's pretty realistic.
Yeah, I mean, I know overall, like, once it gets to the teens and the 20s, it's really serendipitous. I mean, the top 10, yeah, it's kind of shaping.
True. You're right. As long as, like, those top 10. Yeah,
I mean, bro, like, you always get the one dipshit team. That's like Cole Strange. Like, you're a fucking Patriot. Like, when you could go at, like, you know, they're like Bensonot first round.
Dude, oh my, I could see that, bro.
Some team's gonna panic reach and like take him at like 32. Like, oh, the fucking Chiefs, I could see that. So yeah, bro. So you have your own mock running up right now.
Should we do it that way?
All right. Having both, Jack. Oh, well, I have this. Let's just go ahead and keep it on mine here because I'm on my laptop right now. So let's operate on this one. We got Mims, bro. I'll just run through seven guys: JJ McCarthy, Jared Verse, Edge, Amarius Mims,
You didn't
Newton,
just JJ McCarthy.
yeah, bro, all the way at 18. And then Chop Robinson, Edge, cornerback Nate Wiggins, Cooper DeJean, GOAT, safety. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's kind of obvious that the tackles are the standouts.
You know, you already know like my favorite prospect in this draft, and it's all based on versatility. Like I think Amarius Mims with the athleticism, yes. I think, not what was it at his at the was it the combine? Combine, he really didn't do much.
Yeah.
I understand that, but in this situation with Troy Faetano,
Baton.
Troy Faetano there, I think that's a home run pick, bro. If he really falls to you, bro, you have the versatility. Like you said, if you got Trent Brown, say you do want to get him in the mix, maybe you do, because I know the NFL people view him as a guard. Maybe that's what happens. Maybe he is a right tackle, but the Bengals, I know the main focus put the best five players on the field, and if they invest a first round pick into a guy like Troy Faetano and he gives you that versatility, and like you said, you have a Trent Brown and you're able to have a Cordell Volson and him compete for that guard spot. Fuck it.
I'm all for it, man. Let's go ahead and get a Troy Fatanu at 18. Now, where is this button? Okay. Now, here's what I'm gonna do. So, all right. What? I paused the draft real quick here. So we went ahead and ran through the first round. Chiefs took a safety. That's interesting. San Fran took a tackle. Oh my God. If the Ravens get Byron Murphy, we're fucking cooked. I hope that shit don't happen, bro.
He did not just fall that far, bro.
Yeah, you hope it don't happen in reality, but nonetheless, man, what I'm saying here is that here's what a lot of us have talked about, right? This because of what you did with this DJ situation. Even if you have Tyre Tart, I don't know if the Bengals are essentially there's a good chance they could trade up, simply put, for Tavondre Sweat. All right. So if I see Tavondre within like 44, I'm going to try to hop up and get him because we're at 49. Does that sound like a plan?
Would you say?
If Tavondre Sweat is there at like 44 or something, I'm going to hop up and get him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Where's he at? Okay.
I just like I honestly think Tavondre. I would not be surprised if like he's called on the first night, bro, or like early second night.
Yeah, no doubt.
Same with Faetano, bro. Like, those both, like, I love those guys in this draft, and damn.
Nah, no doubt, bro. No doubt. So, yeah, what I'm seeing here, man, there's some good fucking names, bro. But I'm at 44 right now. So what I'm gonna do is, I don't know if I really see them trading up. But they got 10 picks, man. Fuck it. Get your guy. Get the dude you need because he fucking chose to fuck around. So I'm gonna go ahead and trade with the Raiders who are at 44. And let's see. What do you think of this offer? If I offer obviously our 49 and 194, so what's that, like a six round pick for 44?
Yeah.
All right, let's fuck, they rejected it. All right, well, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead. Y'all want to be reluctant? I'm gonna fucking throw you one.
Is Jerzon Newton primarily a three tech, or can he play run defense? See
No.
how.
I mean, look, dude, every player can play run defense.
Right.
It's what's in your repertoire. You know, like what are you good at? Like anybody can play run defense, no matter where you are on the line. Look at Sam Hubbard. Sam Hubbard's an edge defender, but he's a phenomenal run stopper. So, yeah, it's just a matter of if that's a part of your game. I think he's solid. Yeah. I don't know if he's elite at it. Byron Murphy's a pretty good run stopper. So that's definitely a big part of his game. No, nah, I mean, I gotta get DeAndre Sweat. What am I doing? I gotta stop the run, bro. I got fucking Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb in my division. I'm trading 149, bro. Part of me was about to say, you know what? I may just risk having him. Why are you rejecting me, dog? Oh. I was like, you know what? I'll trade with the Saints at 45. You know what? If this happens, we're cooked. Raiders took him at 44. Son of a bitch.
And that's where the Bengals come in, and fucking that's what happens when you don't re-sign a new Jerry.
Yep. Boom. Just like that. Yeah, it's a perfect example, bro. Like, I mean, a large reality is that right there, right? Like, you feel good. All right, here we go. You know, we got Tyre Tart. Like, he's okay, you know, but we've been still accustomed to an elite
Hold
DJ.
up, hold up. Do we got did Braden Fisk go already?
Nah, bro, he's at like 90, at least on this board.
I think Braden's going in the second round, bro.
Yeah, he could for sure. Now, let's see. I'm looking at this here. Actually, bro, contemplating a couple quick things. So the Browns actually offered pick 54 for our 49, and 156. You know, I'm gonna try to finesse these motherfuckers really quick because that's what the Bengals would do, right? You look to finesse motherfuckers. I didn't mean to accept it, but I just did. Okay, well, I ended up moving back four spots, and I acquired two draft picks, 156 and 230. But yeah, I'm sorry, I actually didn't mean to do that. I need to move back, but here we go. Dude, I'd be the worst GM, dog. Like, what? I didn't mean to accept that. Like, we just lost our first round pick. Sorry, guys. Like mid-fire. Like, dude, imagine like 11:15 p.m. on like Thursday night. Like breaking news: the Bengals have, you know, fired Zach Taylor for accidentally fucking trading their first round pick. On accident. Bro, Leonard Taylor is still falling. Okay. All right, dude. Nah, fuck that. So, here's what the board's looking like here at 54. Leonard Taylor from Miami, 35 overall, three tech. He is 305 pounds, 6'3", broke out as a true freshman. Remember, that's always a great sign, right? When you break out as a young player, extremely athletic, crazy strong, phenomenal. He's just high motor guy. Great at angle. They say angle confusion here. That's a unique term. So you got three tech. You got Trey Benson, the running back. You got Patrick Paul, the tackle. You probably don't need him. Jalen Polk, 6'1" wide receiver. Michael Hall, Jatavion Sanders, Braylon Trice. What are you thinking, bro?
What do you think?
I like Michael Hall here. I think I'm gonna take him. I think he's got the most upside. I think he can develop a bit, but that's a three tech. So I'm gonna go ahead and secure him. So I'm gonna take Michael Hall ahead of Jatavion Sanders in the second round. So I get the tight end. Let's see if Matt, what's his fucking name? He's the second best nose. Oh shit, Braden Fisk is still here. Heck, fuck.
You're a terrible GM, man.
God damn, bro. I'm getting cooked.
And
Bro, where is.
I get to third rounders.
Bro, no. Dude, guys, you can't make this up. We have pick 80. McKinley Jackson got took at 79. If this happened, bro, with the two top nose tackles in the draft, bro. I know Bengals fans would just like collapse on the floor, dude. They'll be like, oh my God. really a Frank Ragnow situation. Because God forbid I take the most ass nose tackle that's like probably 180th ranked at fucking 80, because I need to pick my Cole Strange of the nose tackle position. Christian Mahogany, guard out of Boston College, 9.6 RES score.
Yeah, that's the guard, right?
Guard.
Yeah.
Your price stacking up that room at that point.
Yeah, I do like Christian Mahogany.
But I mean, you got Troy Fatanu, like you got Trent Brown. So that room's low key getting loaded. Pretty rare situation for the Bengals. Braylon Allen, 240.
True, but you also got to think that Ted Karras coming up.
Yeah.
Older, and then you have, I mean, you never know with Alex, and then yeah, you always have to plan for the future.
No doubt. Nah, yeah, you're definitely right with that, actually. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and take Christian Mahogany at 80 overall. So we got him there. Fuck, man.
And I mean, we still got another pick. So we so let's see who we drafted. Fatanu.
We got Fatanu, Michael Hall, and Christian Mahogany. So you got a tackle, free tech, and guard. So you beefed up the trenches, right? It's kind of predominantly what we talked about. Even when you head into the draft, if you do shit in the free agency, like you're still looking to do that. So you got it. 97, bro. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling Jalen Wright. Let's see. I don't care if it's early. He is 117 ranked on their board here. I'm not risking it. I'm getting my guy. This is the luxury of picking, you know, 90, having an extra pick. I'm going to get my guy. So, you cool if I take him at 97?
No, I want Trey Benson.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Want Jalen Wright, Bengal?
I'm playing.
I'm so fired. Like, what do you think of Duke? That's sick, dude. Nice. All right. Well, yep. Here we go.
No, I think Jalen Wright and Trey Benson are going to be both second round picks.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen, bro. Because, like, the profile of Jalen is, you know, super intriguing. So, all right, bro. Cade Stover here at fell to 115.
Okay.
Got to get our tight end, right?
I mean, Cade Stover, yeah, that would be four. The pick. Who else you got on the board?
So, obviously, the tight end, the young tight end, he's 8.5 RES, 6'4", 250. Okay. I was actually trying to look for his run game. But we got Braylon Allen, just took a running back, linebacker, corner, corner Kalen King, 5'10", 190. I'm looking for a bigger corner. I want a corner that's 6 foot and above. We got some smaller corners, man. I want to get some big bodies in there. So it's pretty clear to me, bro. Yeah, I mean, after this, you got Jonah Ellis, edge. It's pretty apparent that Cade Stover is the standout to me here. Got Dylan Laube still there. Brandon Coleman, guard. But we're getting, at this point, we're stacked on the O-line, bro. But you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
Brandon Coleman, dude, guard out of TCU, 9.99 RES score. Yeah. So, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Cade Stover, you're probably big. Tight end, cool with it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's a really good pick, in my opinion, especially at that value.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, he's tight end 3 or 4 on probably everybody's board. So, all right, bro. 149, we're here. Bro, why is Braylon Allen falling? Don't you fucking make me take Braylon Allen, bro. Don't you make me take two running backs in the top 150. Okay, we're not doing that. Bro, I mean, imagine a world where we have Braylon Allen, Chase Brown, and Jalen Wright. Like we said, fuck a veteran running back. Like, we're just going to have these young dudes try to figure it out. So, I'm declining this offer right now. Here's what we got here. We got Braylon Allen, Dylan Laube, both running backs, and probably not looking for that. Layden Robinson, guard, tight end, Jaheim Bell. He's 6'2", 240. Javon Baker. This receiver, this is a polished wide receiver out of UCF. You got Zach Zinter, guard, probably not looking 6'6", way too tall to be a center. Tyke Smith, safety. I mean, Javon Baker, dude, this dude is incredible value here. Like, this is a legit starting receiver in the league.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why he's so low. You know why, actually? I don't think his athleticism. I remember listening to some of the Senior Bowl breakdowns of him. He's kind of like a Tyler Boyd, bro. Like already. Huh?
What's his name again?
Javon Baker, UCF receiver. Yeah, bro, it's seeming pretty clear that he's the standout here. So you want to take him a gem in the fifth round?
Is Luke McCaffrey there?
Nah, I'd like Luke McCaffrey though, bro. Let's see where he's at. Oh fuck, he went off the board. Let's see where he went. Luke McCaffrey.
I mean, you just if it, you just gotta say fuck it. It's McCaffrey.
Yeah, nah, no doubt, bro. Too bad he went to the fucking Bears. Yeah, this obviously isn't updated because that ain't happening no more, probably, with them getting so many damn trade names. Oh, we got 156? Oh yeah, I traded with the Browns. So 156. We got, why is Braylon Allen falling so far? You kind of got the same guys here. I just drafted fucking 5 picks ago. Yeah. So guard. Safety, defensive tackle, tight end, guard, two running backs. Let's see what we drafted here. I know we got to choke through this here. So we got Troy Fitano, tackle, Michael Hall, defensive tackle, guard, Christian Mahogany, running back, tight end, wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you think, probably what they'd be looking for at this point? I mean, you got two offensive lineman, one defensive lineman. You got a tight end. You got a running back. You got a wide receiver. I mean, think of the cornerback room we're kind of at right now, bro. Like, we're pretty fucking loaded. I mean, this may be completely luxury at this point. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you like, yeah, the wide receiver. I mean, I don't know much about him, but
Yeah.
let's do it.
Yep. Well, fuck it, dude. I'm gonna take I like Jaheim Bell, man. Fuck it. I'll take the tight end.
Double dipping?
Yeah, because like I just think the upside of the future could be huge, bro.
You don't like the receiver? I thought you liked the receiver. Star receiver.
I took him, bro. I took him on the last pick. We had almost back-to-back picks. Yeah, that's why I already took him.
Oh, it was quick. It was quick.
Quick, like I said, literally 7 picks.
Oh, so what was Bell at? What pick is that?
156 overall. That was my trade back with the Browns in the second round. Here we go. I mean, better late than never. 194. I got a nose tackle that fell. His name's Christian Boyd. He's out of Northern Iowa. I've actually heard some kind of good things about him, but he also played at Northern Iowa. Want to take a flyer?
Yeah, do it. I've heard of that name too.
Tackle. Let's go. I'm kidding, thinking I'm lit. Like, we're back, bro. Got our nose tackle, man. Got our DJ Reader, dog. We have 4 picks left. Who the fuck am I pick? Bro, we got to trade for somebody, bro. God, I don't want to fucking sit here with these damn picks. All right, well, Juwan Briggs, nose tackle out of Cincinnati. Don't know about that one. Defensive lineman, safety, Jay Stanley. I'm looking for RAS scores at this point. Do you have a profile that is compelling in any shape or form? Charles Turner, center out of LSU. Don't know. Here we go. 6'2" corner. You're a Bengal. 9.9 RAS score. His name is D. What? D. Decamarion? Oh yeah, bro. Decamarion Richardson. Decamarion Richardson.
What university?
Mississippi State University. You remember Key and Peele?
That's what, yeah, that's exactly.
The, oh, Jammy. Hey, you want to hear something impressive, bro? I'm about to listen to this shit. Bro, I remember the crazy long ass name. You remember, do you remember some of the names that were on there?
Yeah, bro.
Ochi Smoochie Wallace. Bro, yeah. I remember Hookalaka Faka. Bro, I remember that name, bro.
I'm weak. That one, bro, that is a goated. Like, I might have to watch that after that.
That was facts, bro. Yeah, dude, I won't forget it. He looked just like Troy Polamalu. He's like, hookalaka faka, hookalaka fika faka, hookalaka faka. It's like, yo, let's go, dude. Yeah, I watched that shit like 1,000 times. So that's who we're drafted. A wide receiver, Ryan Flournoy, Southeastern Missouri State, 6'2", 9.9 RAS score.
We're drafting RAS at this point.
Hey, bro, you're just taking athleticism. You're taking raw traits. This is generally what they do here. Edge, whoa, this dude's a bangle. Edge, Eric Watts, UConn, 6'5", 275, 9 RAS score.
Yeah.
Yep, you're a bangle, buddy. Yep. Tip Raymond, tight end, 6'5", 270. This is the dude that don't believe in birds.
Bro, they were at his pro day.
Yeah, dude. Hey, he said, you ever see a baby pigeon? He's like, I never have. It's like, bro.
That was him.
Yeah, dude.
Wait, he was the one that said they go charge on the.
Yeah. This dumb fuck's a Bengal.
We're triple dipping.
Let's go, man. Facts. Like, triple. You know what? Oh.
We got 10 draft picks, bro. Fuck it.
I know, but let's see. Wait.
No, I'm playing. We cannot draft 3 tight ends.
Oh, this is our last pick? Yeah, nah, you're right, bro. Man, I'll tell
you. What about a linebacker?
You're right.
What? Tell me the linebackers that are on there, man.
Yeah. Let's see.
What about the guy from Toledo? Is he on there?
Toledo. For some reason, my computer is glitching right now. Let's see. Linebacker from Toledo. I'm not too sure.
Let me see. I'll figure out his
name. Linebacker. I mean, I see Temple. Ooh. 9.3 RS score. Hey.
Dallas Gant, Toledo.
Dallas Gant. Seems like that dude must have. Oh, what the? How do you know him? Bro, I see him on here. His ranking is 570.
On PFF, bro, he's like. Oh, no. He's like. He's a really good run defender.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, PFS probably like, yeah, this is our 90th ranked guy. I don't know. I mean, Pro Football Network, I mean, straight up.
It's some shit they would do, bro. Like Dallas Gant, Toledo, bro.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, shit. But I will say there's obviously higher profile guys they have here. Darius Mayasu. I don't even know how the fuck to say his name. I mean, RES-wise, Jordan Maggie. Like I said, out of Temple, 9.3 RAS score, 230, 6'1". That size is decent. 6'2", 240. Fuck it. We'll go ahead and take that Maggie guy if we're going off trace here. So, sorry, dude. That definitely took longer. Look, let's go ahead and sum this up and get out of here. So, the reality is exactly what the fuck a lot of us fans potentially feared. Of you miss out on a DJ Reader, nothing is guaranteed in the draft. I mean, you obviously heard guys how like adamant how me and Drake were to get a fucking nose tackle, right? Yeah. I mean, you talk about it all the time, bro, how Frank Ragnow was such a standout to you in that year for everybody. And look how catastrophic it was. Fortunately, no, you know, nose tackle shouldn't be as premium, you know, as what I mean, even the centers, I don't know. It's not like a fucking tackle, but still really important. The impact of missing on a guy like that, that you know is your guy. This is the reality of what it could go like, man. I mean, we could be there, right? Like, oh my God, the dude keeps falling. He keeps falling. We got one pick left. Let's go. Boom. Sweat right from under your feet.
Yep. Swept.
Yeah, bro. So we ended up having 12 fucking picks here. So we took tackle Troy Fatanu, Michael Hall, three tech, Christian Mahogany, elite guard from Boston College, Jalen Wright, let's cook, Cade Stover, tight end, Javon Baker, ready, Tyler Boyd, light receiver, Jaheim Bell, tight end, really athletic guys, both of them are. So both of our tight end room has been completely revamped. Christian Boyd, nose tackle, DeCamarion Richardson, 6'2 corner, Ryan Flournoy from Southeastern Missouri State. Four RES score, Eric Watts, 275 at the edge position, 6'5, almost 6'6 actually. Nine RES score, Jordan Maggie, nine RES score. So what it could look like, man. You know, obviously a lot of things can change. This was definitely less to be desired with the nose tackle spot. But you got a revamped defensive tackle room, bro. You got three guys that we drafted here. Actually, just two. Hopefully, Zach Carter's off the team, you know. And maybe Ryan Flournoy is our new fucking Trent Irwin. And DeCamarion Richardson is like our B.W. Webb or something.
So, with the 2 sixth-round picks we got, is we keep those, right? And we still have the third?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. We have 10 draft picks when you really think about it. That's a lot of draft picks.
It is a lot of draft picks, bro. That's why, to wrap this up, I think trading's very – you got money. You have cash that you can convert a cap hit and cap space.
We talked about it.
Yeah, bro. Like, it – I think it's got to happen. Like, that's where I'm at, dude.
Should we tell the people what our thoughts were today? Your thoughts and my thoughts?
Yeah.
Not, we don't have to go into the crazy one, that crazy one, but...
yeah.
yeah, like, I've had an intuition that we might trade, you know, for some guy on the defensive line, and you have an intuition that we'll trade for a guy on the right tackle. Boy, I don't know. We just feel that maybe a trade's coming.
They're in a position to do it. The market is not as compelling, you know, as it could be.
I mean, Keenan was just traded for a fourth-round pick. We've seen it happen before where guys, you just see they get traded for something, and you're like, what the hell? And I feel like if the Bengals could actually make a move like that, like, not that we fucking need Keenan Allen, but in a sense of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can add a guy like that potentially – at a draft pick like that, if they're willing to give a guy up like that, and like you said, we have the money. We have 20 million and cap. That's not just total, you know, money. Like, oh, we give Mekhi Becton I don't even know what his market is, man. I'm just going to throw out a number, like five.
Yeah.
5 million. And then you have Tier Tart at 2 years, 13 or might be a little high.
Maybe like, yeah, something like probably 12, 13.
Yeah, like those two, like, you're not just fucking done in cap, like, oh, you're broke now. No, that's not what cap hit is. So, yeah, bro, I think we're in a good position to trade, bro. Like, 10 picks, bro. You have two-thirds, bro. Like, if you really wanted, you could realistically – trade one of your third round picks if you wanted an impact player right now, in my opinion, just based on how, you know, things go on in the NFL.
No doubt. I mean,
you would just have to find, you know, a suitor, and you'd have to find someone. Obviously, I don't know someone off the top of my head, but yeah.
Bro, you could trade to pick 11. You could trade to pick 10, maybe even 9 with picking. Like, that's what you can do.
What would you have to give up?
Pick 8, our third. That's it.
You think?
Yes, bro. Like, to 10. Now, if you want to get 7, 6, Because look, bro, like a year or two ago, last year, moved up four spots and took Broderick Jones. It only took a fourth round pick. I'd have to look at the exact metric system, because there's a metric system for this, because they're points. The NFL coordinates this into points. How many points is worth your pick? How many points is worth your position? And then they end up, you there's a point accruance of, is it positive or is it negative of this decision? You know, the analytics side of it. And yeah, dude, like, I think it'd be about right on point that, say, if the Bengals, if Brock did slip past the Jets and the Bears, and it's pick 11, and starting to get to those runs of teams, like Seattle's probably out of, Seattle will not be taking Brock Bowers. Like, I don't think so. So they could be out of the loop. But the Jags, they're pretty loaded. They may want to get younger. And as an elite pass catcher, he could be an option. Obviously, the Colts, you hop ahead of all of them. That could be very real. Like, if they want to secure their guy, and also if you want to secure another guy, you want to hear something even more crazy? Use that other third round pick. Trade up and get like Amarius Mims in the middle of the 20s, or Troy Fatanu. Like, you want to get both of your guys, and guess what? You still have eight total draft picks with getting those guys. Like, this is the golden opportunity of 10 draft picks. Like, we're not used to this.
Yeah, like I understand like the Bengals situation of like first round picks is like they either have traded back or they usually don't play around with, having to give away too much, draft capital, but they have that luxury this year of having 10 draft picks. And I agree with you, bro. Like if that's a trade that happens, would you fully expect that to be on draft night?
Oh yeah. That's a decision that's made later on. I mean, plus, because things change. You know, like, there could be a scenario to where maybe the Bears are like, you know what, like, the adamant in XYZ position, but like, look, Malik Nabers is going to the Chargers at five.
Thanks.
So say maybe a team jumps up at seven now and takes one Dunze or eight. Then all of a sudden the Bears are there at nine. They're like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? They're like, we are O line. We don't find a defensive tackle that's worthy to take a nine. Or maybe they do. I don't know. They're like, maybe we want to move back. What do the Bengals got to say? Give us 80. Give us 80 and 214. I don't know. Like, that's how that could go. And it would be last second for sure.
Damn, man. Gosh, yeah, that's gonna be fun. Also, anybody listening, we kind of confirmed it tonight. We're gonna be together on draft night, so that'll be some fun content.
Yep, no doubt, man. Yeah, we'll be with some other incredible Bengals personalities. Gonna have a fun time.
Do
Lots
you,
of these.
we saw the visits today, man. To wrap it up, like, do you expect anything to get done tomorrow with Tyrae Tarte and Mekhi Becton?
Fully expect, well, fully intuitively, don't want to say this with any, inside information. I fully expect Tyrae Tarte to get done. It's the trust I have in the Bengals. They completely understand what's at hand, what's at stake. Like, if you don't get Tyrae Tarte, like, you have to trade for somebody. Like, it gets that bad. So they're gonna sign Tyrae. Mekhi Becton, I actually have a prediction. I don't think they're gonna sign him. That's just my opinion. Or if they do, it may be a signing of him desperately wanting to reignite his career with a coach that he felt success with. I feel like the Bengals are going to go get Trent Brown. That's my opinion.
After losing DJ, like you think they will actually get serious now? Because what is the Bengals shown to do? They've shown to invest that money elsewhere. And when you couldn't get a deal done with the Jesse Bates, they took that money and they reinvested it into the offensive line and a guy like Orlando Brown, which we all loved that signing. And I agree with you, bro. If you bring Trent Brown in, now that you weren't able to get DJ, you pivot. Also, Mekhi Becton has other visits lined up too. I mean, I don't know how Mekhi feels about the fact of coming to Cincinnati and having the possibility, or even knowing the possibility, like, hey, there's going to be an offensive lineman drafted within the first two rounds. You know, your job is not secure here whatsoever. And maybe another team is offering that security. Who knows? But what I do know is that if we get Trent Brown, it's fucking up. Like, you sold me on that vision. I sold you on the Calais Campbell, bro. God, we need to get him a ring.
Give me that fucking dinosaur. Yeah, man. Like, it'd be incredible for sure. Yeah, man. You know, I feel pretty good about it. Definitely expect tomorrow to be pretty busy. Yeah, man. The Bengals have been busy. You know, obviously it's been on a sour note with DJ being some of the last significant news of the Bengals, but expect there to be some more positive ones tomorrow. So this episode was a lot longer. And yeah, man, you know, of course, everybody, we will be back when we have more emergency news that's needed. And until then, appreciate y'all for listening to another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Peace out, bro.
Peace, bro. Hootay.
Hootay.